Welcome back to another episode of Afternoon Delight. It's Kyle Rush. It's Ben Taylor. Happy Dadgum Monday. Ben, I'm going to turn it over to you because you got a pretty interesting question, and I think it's a good thought experiment for Auburn fans.
Well, and I came up with this because you look back, and I got to thinking over the weekend, you look back at the timeline of events, and you know what made me think of this was Gus's 4th of July.
His picture with the Auburn shirt on?
But he had the Auburn shirt on. Yeah. And I was like, the guy loves this place.
Yeah, we talked about that on our live on last night. That was like the main topic was all about Gus.
Yeah. And so I got to thinking, I was like, all right. So as an Auburn fan, I know, yes, media member covering it, but as an Auburn fan, because I my fandom gets in the way of my objectivity as a media member. I will say that. And I'll be the first to admit it. And as an Auburn fan, let's go back 6 years/5 seasons.
Yeah.
And Gus run out. Told, listen, program's just kind of where it is. Doesn't seem to be getting any better, even though the recruiting was still good. You know, they pretty much
starting to slip, but yeah,
it was kind of stagnant. Everything was stagnant. And so they tried to make a move, and I will be the first to admit when they hired Harsin, I was like, outside the family, offensive guy, a little different, bringing a unique perspective to Auburn from Boise State. Everybody loves Boise. They're always featured on Thursday Night Football during the season. So you got to watch Boise a lot. Clearly, that was a big mistake in my judgment, and that didn't work out. So then you bring in Freeze. Some would say you probably got stuck with Freeze because some thought that Kiffin had an opportunity to be here and they couldn't meet a number. So we kind of got, quote unquote, stuck with Freeze. I didn't mind the hire at the time. He has done fine recruiting. Just the product on the field was not what we would have liked to have seen. And now we get Golish. So I say that to say this, going back to 6 years/5 seasons, have we as fans, me as a fan, been so burned over the last 5 seasons/6 years that now with all the positive stuff coming out of this camp, coming out of this coaching staff, coming out of this recruiting, am I just living on too much of a high right now and reality is about to set in when football season begins? Or do I have a legitimate, I guess, prognosis of, hey, this could be a really good year this year. But then the pros in the business say you should be happy with 7-5. And I'm not going to be happy with 7-5.
Yeah. So I guess what you're saying is, have we been so burned that we're just reaching for anything and thinking
everything
it's going to be
good?
Yeah.
We even defend the bad. The throwing motion, Byron Brown, that everybody talked about during the spring, we immediately were like, he threw for 3,000 and ran for 1. Like, stop.
Like, yeah.
He hits about, like, we immediately, anything that has come in negative, we've all had a defense for it. And there hadn't been a lot of negative.
Right.
So
I think it's human nature, though, right? I mean, what is more likely? Another 5-win season? Potentially going, set another 7-win season. This can't keep going forever. Like, Auburn's not a 5-7 program. Like, as much as people from the outside point and laugh and, yeah, I get it, it's been rough, that's not who Auburn is historically. Like, it doesn't matter if you're an Alabama fan, a Georgia fan, anybody, you can't look in the mirror with a straight face and say, this is who Auburn is. Like, eventually, you're going to get out of it. You're going to get out of, hopefully, your own way. And maybe, however you stumbled upon Alex Golish, maybe this is the turning point. This is why I am feeling more positive than maybe I have in the past, is because we're not having to really trick ourselves into things. We're not having to debate ourselves or convince ourselves on a ton of things. And it mostly for me revolves around Byron Brown. Like, I don't care if he throws with his feet. If he's throwing for 3,000 plus yards and running for 1,000 plus yards, like, it just, and then you see how the team kind of gravitates to him. he's just a different type of guy. You know what I mean? And the things that Auburn fans are latching onto right now, to me, are actual tangible things. Like, not, oh my God, did you see they changed from Gatorade to Powerade? That's going to be, you know, a big difference. You know, it's not that. It's, there's, you know, the recruiting aspect, the culture aspect, like all those things are real things. It's not things that we're just making up to make ourselves feel better. And, but I do think, yeah, I do think that the results of the last 4 to 5 years probably make you grab on to stuff a little bit harder than you would if it was just like a regular coaching transition. Sure, I think there's some of that. I think that's human nature, and I think anybody would probably be doing the same thing.
Because this point got brought up with a buddy of mine that was talking to me about it, and this is going to be taken so out of context by what some people, when they hear this, you know, we all had a little bit of this feeling when, not all of us, but some of us, I was one of them, had a little bit of this feeling when Harsin took over for Gus, because it was something that was different. You were excited about something new, and then you saw the product that got produced out on the field. And so it's, as he said, he's the one that brought it up to me. He said, am I getting hyped up not for Harsin 2.0, but for everything that has come with Golish and company, Golish and staff, including recruits that are now coming in, as well as transfers that he's brought in, as well as the people he brought from South Florida. Am I overhyping myself like I did with the Harsin hire, where I'm setting myself up for disappointment in the coming year?
Okay, I got two things to that. Number one, it doesn't matter how much you hype or unhype yourself, you're going to be excited for the season and you're going to be disappointed. It doesn't, you can't trick yourself. Like, you're not going to fool me. So I know if you're an Auburn fan, you're going to be excited. Yeah, you may be a little bit reticent, but even if you're nervous or you think 7-5 is probably the, if you're being conservative and you think that's the ceiling, guess what? You're still going to be disappointed at 7-5.
Yeah.
You're still going to be disappointed at 6-6. I don't understand that from people. Like, that whole argument or that whole mindset, you're not fooling anybody.
Yeah.
You can't even fool yourself. It's not like you're like, I'm so thankful that I didn't get excited about this season because we went 6-6 and I'm not disappointed. It's amazing. That's not real.
Yeah, you're going to be disappointed regardless. You're
disappointed. Now, I'm not saying go all in and start trash talking and saying Auburn's going to go 13-0 or whatever you are now if you go undefeated and we're going to make the playoffs. Like, I'm not saying do that either, but this whole idea that, like, I'm not going to get hyped up because they'll let me down again. You're not fooling anybody. So, like, let's just quit that. Like, I don't want to have that discussion because that's just silly to me. Okay, the second thing, I'm having a hard time finding things to compare the two of Brian Harsin and Alex Golish. I'm having a hard time finding things in common because the only thing I can find in common is that Boise State people were happy to see him, like, hated Brian Harsin, apparently. And now South Florida fans, for different reasons, hate Alex Golish, which is a whole other crazy dynamic. Like, that's about it. I mean, Brian Harsin came to Auburn. Not a soul came with him from the roster. Brought a lot of coaches. Not a soul came with him. Alex Golish left, and damn near the whole offense came with him.
Yeah.
Okay, even a quarterback that probably could have challenged to start at South Florida, the backup, Lachlan Hewlett, and then a couple of wide receivers that you don't hear about a ton, like Corey Pettigrew and Christian Neptune. Like, those guys probably could have been the guy at South Florida this upcoming year, and they came with him. Even with Brian Hartline being the head coach, who's a, you know, wide receiver guy, played wide receiver in the NFL, those guys still followed Golish. So that's the piece that I'm having. I can't really find much comparable. And then you throw the recruiting aspect on top of it. Brian Harsin did not even remotely try to recruit. Alex Golish seemingly can't stop trying to recruit, like going to every meeting, appearance, even doing more media than I've ever seen in Auburn. Doing more media than Hugh Freeze did media. I honestly have a hard time finding a correlation between the two.
Yeah, the only – and my answer to him when he asked me this is I said, let me tell you who you can compare Harsin to. And even though this guy was a nicer guy, is the Jeff Lebo hire. Or the – I said, because Lebo, when it came to recruiting, I will say this was back when I covered Auburn sports a lot more than I do now, because that was like my full-time gig. There was no sales and management part of it. It was just sports only. He literally had the mindset of – I played at North Carolina. They will come play for me. I don't have to go recruit. And that is the only comparison I compared Harsin to was, and maybe even the next, you know, coach that came to Auburn and Barbie, he was like, I coach for Cal. I don't have to go recruit. They'll come play for me because I played for Calipari. I coach for Calipari.
Yeah.
So if you want to compare Harsin to anybody, use another sport and go with a different coach, like Lebo or Barbie, because the only
I or said Sonny Galloway
or Sonny, yes, that's a very good one because
he won, like he won as a head coach at Oklahoma.
He's another one though. He's a lot like Harsin when he came. Of course, transferring was different, but nobody came with him when he came. Nobody had anything good to say from Oklahoma and the Sooners about Sonny Galloway when he got here.
Yeah,
and so. He's probably comparable to Harsin. But as far as Harsin and Golish, I said the only comparables is, and Kyle, you and I did a show on this, sight unseen hires that came here and started coaching. That's it. They're outsiders that were outside the quote-unquote Auburn family that they brought here. Other than that, from what I've seen so far with the staff, I don't think you can compare. I don't even think you can compare Golish and Freeze. I think it's a different animal in this staff and the way they've handled things since they've been here.
Yeah. Now,
will that continue? Will it, you know, for the next 10 years that he's here, let's hope he stays hungry the entire time.
Let me just say this. Okay. When you take over a new job, a new coaching job, there are things that you have to do to be successful before you ever coach a game. Okay. Now, doing those things well does not guarantee that you're going to win games.
Right.
You know, when the season rolls around, we've seen that. Okay. I thought Hugh Freeze did a good job, you know, in the off season for the most part. And then when we get to the season, it all would fall apart. Now, here's the thing though. That doesn't mean just because it doesn't guarantee you wins on the field, that doesn't mean you don't have to still do those things and still do them at a very high level. It doesn't mean that, oh, hey, we tried the recruiting thing once and it didn't work. I guess we just don't have to do that no more. No, like you still have to recruit at a high level. You still have to evaluate at a high level. You still have to coach at a high level. You still have to hit the weight room. You still have to have a plan in the off season to get you to the season. Like all those things still have to happen. And from at least, you know, from the outside, not outside looking in, but from my perspective, it feels like he's nailing those things. So the only, if there's one thing you could point to that you're like, man, I just, he dropped the ball is not a right word, but maybe could have done better or left a little meat on the bone. To me, potentially offensive line. Like maybe there could have been a more blockbuster name that they could have done more to get at, you know, one of the tackles or I don't know. I mean, you kind of have a hodgepodge of guys in there and it may turn out that they're phenomenal. That's probably like the only thing, but boy, with all the pieces they had to fill, like get to fill. Yeah.
Oh,
it's not hard to imagine why, you know, it may have ended up the way it did. I mean, you're adding 50 guys to the roster.
Yeah.
You know, that's just crazy in one offseason. So I get that were latching on to some things and maybe overselling them a little bit. Overselling to me is not the right word. Probably.
I think it's we're just craving. We're just craving success. And so any little bit of it we get is probably magnified a little bit. I mean, with this recruiting class, I mean, I told you, I expected 15 to 20 to start with. We're at 26, 27. Like, so it's magnifying my excitement even more for the 2028 season and for December to roll around to get those guys, you know, on campus in January to hopefully go through early workouts and go through spring if they go ahead and sign and graduate early. So I think it's magnified. And because that was the next question I got asked. Well, what would make you happy this season? I said, well, honestly, as bad as it sounds, I said, just some improvement overall, some execution, some finishing games, some not giving up. I mean, no, 5 wins ain't going to cut it. 5-7 is not, I'm not going to be happy with that. 6-6, not going to be happy. But who are we as Auburn fans to complain if we finally get a winning season that we haven't had in the last?
See, I don't like that mindset. I don't like that mindset.
I know, but I don't think that we – I just don't know. Everybody thinks that you can just turn it around on a dime, and I think with the transfer portal, you definitely turn it around quicker. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I also don't want to fall in that category of playoff or bust, which, you know, you see some of those all the time too, and I'm just like, I'm not there yet. But if this trajectory, because he's trending upward – with recruiting, with coaching, when fall rolls around, with performance, if it rears its head out there on the field, with defense, with offensive execution, then yeah, my expectations are going to be through the roof in the coming years because I see what if he can be successful in his first year.
Define success.
I would
put a number on it. A record on it.
Oh, I told you, I think, because I think we had this discussion before. I'd like to see 9 wins. With that way, going to a bowl game, you could get a 10th. You could get to double-digit wins. Because I think 10 wins.
So do you think 8 wins is failure?
I don't want to say failure because 8 wins is going to be bowl. That's going to get you bowl eligible, which we haven't. Yeah. And I don't want to diminish the 8 wins, but my goal would be 9 because then you're probably not going to make the playoffs. If he made the playoffs his first year, I think it'd be through the roof, like the confidence going into next year for sure.
Yeah.
But 9 wins probably ain't going to get you in, but that at least gets you in that bowl game to get that double digit 10th win. And to go from 5 wins in the last 5 years to 10 to double your win total, dude, that's successful to me. That's off the charts successful.
Oh, sure. I mean, that's like saying if we go undefeated, that's successful. I totally get that. To me, if you look at the schedule, 7-5 means you lost to every team. You didn't win any game you weren't supposed to.
Right.
I think is the way it goes. And maybe that's a step in the right direction, but whenever, like, you're doing it with a quarterback you're only going to have 1 year. You're doing it with all of the guys that you handpicked to come – do this thing with, you know what I mean? So, and I think Golish would tell you it ain't 7-5 ain't it. You know what I mean? Like we need to be better than that. So to me, as sad as this would sound, and the other thing is like, I don't really know in college football anymore, like, okay, we're going to go 8-4. And then what are the next steps that you do to go 9-3 and then 10-2? Like, what is that now? Because you can go, you go get players immediately. Like you go get those players from year to year. So what do you truly build anymore? Maybe some people could argue trenches from the high school ranks. And like, I get that. But is that the difference between, does that get you to 9 wins or does that get you to playoff contention and championship caliber guys? Or could you bring in, you know, your portal guys to kind of supplement you to get to those 8, 9, maybe even 10 win seasons? I just think you got to be better than 7-5, or
yeah,
it's to me, I don't even think Golish would say that's a good season. And there'll be, I know there are going to be people like, my God, man, you haven't been to a bowl game in however many years, you wouldn't be happy with 7-5. No, Auburn's.
It depends.
You're about to. How many millions of dollars are you pumping into that stadium right now? How many millions of dollars is that football facility? How many millions of dollars are you spending on that roster? Like, no, that's not good enough.
How many millions of dollars are you getting out of fans that are still selling out crowds for 5-win teams?
Exactly. Yeah, like, that's just not good enough.
And it's funny because, and especially if it goes, I forgot what prognosticator did this. They picked Auburn to go 7-5, and they basically said they'll start 5-0. Let me tell you, you talk about a sour taste. If we lose the last 7 ball games of the season in a row,
yeah,
that is not going to sit well with a lot of Auburn fans. So all of those that say 7-5, you should be happy with 7-5. That's a good season. Maybe yeah. In somebody's eyes, but if you go 5-0 and then you lose 7 in a row, I'm sorry, they're not going to do – Auburn fans will – everybody that just made that comment about 7-5 is okay will completely do a 180 and be like, this sucks.
You mean – you don't mean lose 7 in a row. You mean lose 5 out of your last 7.
Yes.
That would put you at 7-5.
Yes.
If you start off 5-0. Sure, sure. And, you know, maybe it – maybe my mind changes a little bit if – depending on how those 7 look – like, yes. There's context to everything. Like, it's not just a blanket, 7 wins is out. Like, what yeah. if you knock off, you know, a big team? Like, you beat an LSU at home or you beat a Georgia on the road, and then maybe you drop a stupid one or you have an injury or something like that. Like, understand all that stuff. Like, I just think year one, you need to be good enough to compete. You need to be good enough to compete with a chance to win and finish some games and do some things that you haven't done. And I don't think there's any reason why – I don't think there's any knock on Auburn fans latching on to some of the things you're seeing because it is different and thinking that that could translate to a positive outcome on Saturdays when the season rolls around.
Agreed. I just was curious. I was curious because – that just kind of hit me over the weekend where I was like, man, it's been a rough 5 to 6 years. And, you know, am I setting my hopes up for failure a little bit later on? But it just doesn't seem that way. But again, the proof's going to be in the pudding. And you're right. I don't think that's the thing a lot of people consider. Injuries, you know, freak things that take place, freak plays, whatever it may be. If you're taking care of the games that you should take care of, and then you grab a couple that you're not supposed to probably, according to Vegas, win, and I think you're setting yourself up for a decent round of success this season, but definitely a ton of momentum going into next year as well.
Absolutely. All right, guys, let us know what you think. We'll talk again very, very soon. We're out of here. War Eagle.
War damn Eagle.